Quickbill was amazed at so much different fruit growing in one place. He had never encountered an orchard before.
The Northlands were never like this, brothers. Apples, pears, plums, and the juicy red berries.
The trio stood around the strawberries on the ground, unhurried, each seeking out a bigger strawberry than the one his brother was eating. They were behaving like naughty young ones raiding the orchard.
Chaka, look at this one. It is like two stuck together.
Yeah, but this berry is more red and shiny, see?
Chaka, I will eat them all as long as they are fat and juicy.
The magpie's long tails dipped and jerked as they gobbled the strawberries with swift bobbing head movements. They carried on, comparing berries as they greedily ravaged the well-tended strawberry patch. Suddenly, Brightback belched. Then he staggered and fell awkwardly. His two brothers cackled aloud at the sight.
Ha-ha-ha! The red berries are making you too fat to stand, brother! We will load our bags and fly back up!
Diptail pecked at a berry and missed. His beak struck the soil. Smiling foolishly, he flapped his wings and fell flat.
Yucko! The red berries are magic! I cannot fly!
He giggled. Quickbill yawned. He lay in the soil, flapping his wings against it with a silly grin on his face.
Coo-hoo! Look at me! I'm flying!
Led by Constance, a group of red wallers crept out from behind a buttress at the east corner of the abbey. They were carrying nets.
Easy now. Let's bag all three at once.
Quickbill was the strongest of the three. He saw the shadow of the net spreading over him, but he felt unable to do anything about it. Diptail was in a deep, drugged sleep. Brightback tried to keep his eyes open, but they snapped shut. The net fell on them, trapping the three birds squarely at its centre. They lay stunned amid the remains of the knockout strawberries. Little Sister May came out from behind the raspberry canes, wagging a paw at the sleeping thieves.
It serves you right. I hope you wake with dreadful headaches.
Constance and Winifred rolled the magpies tightly in the nets.
They can't hear you, sister,
Constance told her.
Let's get them inside before we're spotted.
Pushing and tugging, they lugged their feathered hostages inside. The abbot dusted off his paws.
Well done, my friends. What do we do now? Wait until the appointed time, or open negotiations right away?
Constance gave a huge grin. She was beginning to enjoy herself.
Allow me, Father Abbot. Leave it to Ambrose and me. We'll go and inform Ironbeak that we have three chickens in the bag. The rest of you, take up your posts at the windows and make sure there are plenty of arrows and spears showing.
Constance and Ambrose strolled out in leisurely fashion. The badger threw her head back and called up to the roof.
Hey, you up there! Iron Trousers, or whatever you call yourself. Get down here. I want a word with you.
Ambrose sniggered into his paws.
I wish Basil Staghair was here. He'd think of some good names to call that bird.
There was a short silence. Then Mangus appeared at the eaves. The crow flapped down to a lower roof level.
Are you ready to surrender so early, striped dog?
He asked.
Go and boil your beak, Featherbag.
Silence, Seth Crawler. My general sent me to speak with you.
Ambrose wrinkled his snout at Mangus.
Listen, maggot brain. You just flap back to your chief and tell him that we want to speak to the big fish and not the little worm. Hurry up now, don't stand there gawping.
The seer crow was outraged.
Mangus does not forget an insult, hedge pig.
Ambrose smiled cheekily.
Good. Then here's a few more for you to remember, your pot-belly, cross-eyed, feather-bottomed excuse for a duck. Now be off with you before I really get going.
When the crow had gone, Ambrose turned to Constance.
What do you think, Striped Dog? Was I a bit too hard on him?
Constance thought for a moment.
No, no. On the whole, I thought you did quite well, hedge pig.